You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Back on FNTSY Radio. Thanks for watching us on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch TV, Facebook Live. We've gone through all the picks at this point. We're going to have Gabe Morency on here in a moment to recap his picks and recap the first part of the draft. The last player we wanted to comment on, Rich, I'll go to you first, was Jaire Alexander. Tony had taken him for the Patriots at corner. They obviously lose Malcolm Butler in free agency. That was an area of huge need, clearly in the Super Bowl and later in the season. What are your thoughts on him as a player?
I'll admit when I'm wrong, and I've been wrong about Jaire Alexander. I did not have high expectations for him. I watched a lot of tape of his previous season in 2016, thought he bit a little bit too often on fakes. I thought he was inconsistent, but really turned it up in 2017. Has had a good pre-draft process. He's physical. Mike had talked about Florida State, the demeanor of Florida State defensive backs. Jaire plays as if he was playing in Tallahassee. He's got a lot of moxie, a lot of physicality. He's confident. He's playing better at this point than I thought he would.
Yeah, he's a player that really excelled under former defensive coordinator Todd Grantham a couple of years ago. They had a new defensive coordinator last year, stepped up his game against the better teams on their schedule. So he can be a legitimate lockdown corner on the next level.
Good stuff. So now joining us, Mr. Personality, Gabe Morency. You can find him here every day on Red Heat and Rage with Cam Stewart, but he can be found on Twitter at Sports Rage. So, Gabe, you and I were talked out about March Madness, and now we get to flip the page over to the NFL Draft, which I think to some extent you feel like has been talked out, correct?
Well, you know what? It's like the best of times and the worst of times when you talk about the NFL Draft. I love talking about these football players. I hate the media. I hate the hit jobs from the GMs. I hate the hit jobs from the memo readers and the NFL insiders that smear kids. I just hate the manipulation and the games that go along with the NFL draft. You know, there's one major unnamed sports entity. You know, they've got a mock draft on a daily basis, and they basically just have every player going to every team. I mean, it's complete nonsense. Or I love the Cleveland Browns, you know, they don't like Rosen. They've settled on Darnold. The latest report, New York Giants settled on Darnold. Because, yeah, I know the Maras are calling the New York Post and telling them what they're going to do, right? I mean, nobody knows. You know, that's the thing that bothers me about this. We can talk about the players, and you guys are doing a great job analyzing the players themselves, but nobody freaking knows. I'm a Buffalo Bill fan right now. They don't know who they're going to take. It's sort of like breaking down mixed martial arts fights. Oh, this guy needs to do this, and this guy needs to do that. Once you get punched in the face, man, the game plan goes out the window. I mean, players get taken, so it's hard to really lock in. And I just find that some of these draft predictions are ludicrous. And I give as much credence to the psychic woman that says Baker Mayfield's going to the Cardinals as I do to Mel Kiper, with all due respect to Mel.
Yeah, what's funny about that is we actually took a different approach to this draft, this group. I think because of that, because none of us are NFL insiders, so to speak. We might have a random source here or there, but insiders and dialed in and trying to call GMs, it ended up organically becoming a best player available type of draft. And there may be some guys that are picked a little higher, some that are picked a lower or not at all in this first round, but it led to certain names rising to the point where we think their talent level is, notably Lamar Jackson, who went 11 to Miami in this draft.
You know what? I think that's probably a decent ballpark figure for where Lamar Jackson is going to go. That is, if he actually ever answers his phone. Does he know where the draft is? Is he aware of the draft date, et cetera? Because, of course, he doesn't have an agent. And I actually think he's making a big mistake with this. And, you know, just in it, I correlate with my opening point about the manipulation in the games that are involved that go along with the NFL draft. If you have an agent, he can get you to be drafted higher. He has relationships with the general managers. You know, he can play the little game. He can play the media game. They can smear other people. This is politics. It's dirty politics, and there's a lot of money at stake. Not to mention, you know, I think that a super agent could probably negotiate with Under Armour and get him a better deal than he can himself. I think it's short-sighted, but from a football standpoint, I understand there are numerous teams that have tried to contact him, and he doesn't return his calls. They don't know where to get in touch with this kid. I do like Lamar Jackson, and I think that there's been an unfair criticism of Lamar Jackson, quite frankly, because of his skin color. I think that he fits sort of a stereotype that people want to make him out to be. I mean, I saw a prop from one sports book who would have the highest and the lowest SATs. And Lamar Jackson, you know, was you know, the lowest one, 10 to 1. Because, yeah, Sam Darnold looks like a rocket science, right? you know, another thing, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to have a hard time learning NFL defenses and an NFL offense. Yeah, I know, because Bobby Petrino wasn't an NFL coach. You know, oh, he's going to have to play wide receiver, says Bill Polian. Bill Polian should check into a senior citizen's home right now, all right? Lamar Jackson's not playing wide receiver anytime soon. Oh, he's too small. You know, he has the exact same body size as Andy Dalton. Exact to the T. He's the same height. He's the same weight as Andy Dalton, except, oh, yeah, he's a hell of a lot faster. And Andy Dalton's been called a lot of things. I never recall anyone calling Andy Dalton too small. So I think, like, just, you know, the generalizations that Lamar has had, I've actually got Lamar going to the Bengals. I think he's a perfect fit for the Cincinnati Bengals moving forward. As a Buffalo Bill fan, I'd be pleased to get Lamar Jackson. I'm a big Lamar guy. I like him.
I know you were bummed during the course of this draft that Lamar got taken one pick in front of your first pick for your very own Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen is who you selected.
I was all mad dropping F-bombs. And you're like, hey, you still can get a lot of good quarterbacks. I forgot it wasn't a real draft.
That's right. That's right. We're going best player available. So you had Josh Allen there available. Rich, I want to hear your thoughts on Gabe's pick. Just recap your thoughts on Josh Allen. Gabe took him there at 12. I mean, ultimately, the Bills, are they going to sit there at 12 and get the third best quarterback, or are they presumed to be the third best quarterback? Probably not. They're probably going to maneuver, but that's why this draft was a little different from some others. So give Gabe your thoughts on Josh Allen. Here you guys debate it.
Gabe, Josh Allen to me is it all comes down to expectations. I think if we could strip away where he's drafted and not have to evaluate him based on the fact that, hey, he's a first-round draft choice, I'm excited about Josh Allen. I just wish that in the real world this kid was taking where he belongs at this point. I think he's a second, third, probably an early day three type pick in terms of the project and the development that's ahead of him, but if you could get him a little bit later, when you look at the size, the speed, the makeup of this kid, his ability to play in bad weather in Wyoming, I think he's a perfect developmental prospect. But in the middle of the first round, I think there's some serious risk involved with him.
You know, I'm going to be a hypocrite and contradict myself on this. And this is how I can prove to people that, yes, I am a member of the mainstream media. Because I just talked about all the manipulation and all the games that go along with the draft and even the combine. You know, going back to the Tony Mandarich days, right? I mean, we can go on. Stephen Hill of guys, and maybe, you know, the Ross kid from last year. Kids that just sort of impress at the combine. And we know, guys, and I love doing it. I hope we do it again this year. And I love talking college football with you guys every Saturday morning. So, unlike a lot of people who are talking about this draft, we've actually watched these kids play on a weekly basis. And I thought that Josh Allen was overhyped for the most part over the year. The accuracy issues are obviously a concern. I know there was a lot of talk, wow, he lost his weapons. He lost his wide receivers. The accuracy problems were there the year before as well. But where I'm buying into this kid is the attitude. He just screams Philip Rivers 2.0 to me. Right now, I know everyone fell for his cannon for an arm. He's so one of these kids, it's sort of contagious. You like to be around, which to me is a nice trait to have for a starting quarterback. He's embraced wherever he goes. I'd love to be a Cleveland Brown. I love Bills Mafia. This kid wants to be a leader. He wants to be a savior. He wants to put a team on his back. Are you going to have to be a little bit patient with him? Yes, it's a monster step up in class. Than the Mountain West and the competition that he's faced. But I think he's got the it factor. I know he can make the throws. Accuracy can be taught. Now, I took him over Josh Rosen, even though I'm a Josh Rosen guy. But I was thinking like the Buffalo Bills. And you look at Brandon Bean, you look at Coach McDermott. They've been very vocal. And look at the quarterback that they brought in with A.J. McCarron. He's a bigger guy. They've been very vocal about this. It's no secret, man. They've got a fetish, all right? It's like Spinal Tap, big bottoms. They got a fetish for big quarterbacks. Brandon Bean was part of the team that drafted Cam Newton, of course, with the Carolina Panthers. They've always had their eye on one of Joe's favorite quarterbacks. And I see a Joe in Mason Rudolph. So maybe they can get Mason Rudolph a little bit later on. But I know that they like big quarterbacks. They feel in Buffalo. You want to be able to throw that football in the wind. And listen, you know, you've got Allen, who's played in Wyoming. Snow will not be a factor for the kid. Bad weather will not be a factor for a kid. Buffalo is going to be like New York City next to Laramie for the kid. So going to Buffalo won't be a factor. Dare I say I see some Jim Kelly in this kid, but I just see a big, tough quarterback in Allen. I think he's a perfect fit for the Buffalo Bills, and I think they're going to like him. If he's there at 12, they're taking him. I guarantee it.
Can I just submit one thing? I've been to Laramie, Wyoming. It is the windiest place I've ever been, and I was there in the middle of the spring, and it's like 40-mile-an-hour winds all the time. It wasn't some freakish storm. They regularly deal with high winds. I would submit that potentially as part of his defense as to his 56% career completion percentage, but it still is a concern regardless of that because he obviously didn't always play well on the road either, Joe.
Yeah, and he lost his leading rusher, Brian Hill. A couple of years ago that went to Atlanta in free agency. I mean, his progression, though, even though losing those weapons, I mean, 28 touchdowns 2 years ago, down to 18 last year. And again, did he step up against the better teams on their schedule? Didn't do that. I think he's a project, but again, he might have a huge upside 2-3 years down the road, learning in an NFL system.
What we're drafting, right, Joe? And yeah, that's what teams are drafting, not who's the most ready per se. But you're right. And you remember, listen, he got shut out against Iowa in week one. And I lost a lot of money in that game against the Oregon Ducks, who don't exactly have a steel curtain Pittsburgh Steelers defense. And, you know, I will admit, when the lights were on, when the ESPN cameras were rolling and the lights were on, he did struggle. I think similar to Sam Darnold, he put a lot of pressure on himself, Joe. And we saw Sam Darnold force some footballs and do some things that he didn't do in the previous year. Because I think of the expectations that were around him and the draft pressure.
Yeah, Wyoming's never had a player drafted in the first round of the draft at all. And this guy went into the season with people saying, you're the number one pick in the NFL draft.
But here's the thing, too, with first round draft picks. If you're taking a guy, offensive lineman, running back, quarterback, wide receiver, and you're picking him in the first round, they better play immediately.
Not a quarterback. Quarterback's a totally different
answer. Look at Carson Wentz.
Exceptions, but quarterback. Yeah, quarterback's a different animal. I disagree with that.
He should be NFL ready by the time he comes out of college. I mean, meaning to start week one. If you're going to draft a guy like Aaron Rodgers, that's one thing if you're taking and have a Hall of Famer in front of him. But if you're a team that has a legitimate need for a quarterback like Buffalo does, he should come in and start or be able to start immediately.
No, that's Gabe, why you they feel have right? A.J. McCarron.
Exactly.
That's why they brought in A.J. McCarron. And that's the thing.
But I think A.J. McCarron, Gabe, is a legitimate starter in the league. I don't think they need a quarterback with A.J. McCarron.
Russell Wilson changed everything. And now Dak Prescott comes in. And now Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson ends up getting hurt. I think it's ridiculous. I think Deshaun Kizer... And we, the same time last year, guys, we're all sitting here and we're talking about Deshaun Kizer being young and raw, but having a ton of upside. I heard Bruce Arians saying this kid could be the best quarterback. He's got by far the most talent of any of these guys. We love this kid, but he's 4 years away, so we can't take him right now. I remember John Gruden saying, I love this kid, but he's not ready. He's a couple of years away from playing in the NFL. They throw Deshaun Kizer out there. The kid gets ruined already. And already spit out of the NFL factory. I mean, patience sometimes is a virtue. I would have no problem. Buffalo Bills sign A.J. McCarron. You throw A.J. McCarron out there, and there's no need to rush a Josh Allen out there. I don't like this just taking a kid and dropping him in the pool and telling him to learn to swim right away.
I agree with that, but let's be honest. It's the NFL. If you have players in the NFL, Gabe, you have Joe Webb from UAB that wasn't a legitimate starter in college, and he's still in the league. Tyrod Taylor was not a great college quarterback. He's starting for Cleveland week
number
one.
But that's many years after his rookie season, though. I mean, you need some.
Started last year. I mean,
but you need seasoning at that position.
In terms of the NFL, that have elongated careers. Kirk Cousins was not a dominant quarterback at Michigan State. He was a starter, led them to a bowl win over Georgia. But he's the highest player in terms of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, let's look at who we're talking about here. We're
I agree with Gabe. Patience is a virtue. The problem is that many GMs don't have it. They're drafting players to save their job, and they're drinking out of a fire hose half the time, and they go away from what they should be doing.
It's a business.
I understand that.
So if you're drafting a guy that's worthy of a $20 million price tag, or a $10 million price tag, and you're putting your app to put that much weight into Josh Allen at top 15 now.
I understand that. But the Bills have the luxury of having a GM and a coach that are brand new. They're molding the team around them, and they have the luxury potentially of waiting a year so that Josh Allen in 3 years is the entirety of their vision of this football team. It is a unique scenario that maybe only the Niners have, because the Bills exceeded expectations this year, made the playoffs when they were shuttling players off of this roster a year ago. I want to get to Gabe's other pick for the Bills, Leighton Vander Esch, the linebacker out of Boise. We haven't seen a lot of him. He's risen through the ranks of this pre-draft process, but your thoughts on Vander Esch, Gabe?
You know what? I think he's a good fit. If you look at the Buffalo Bills, obviously, you know, Buffalo Bills need a lot of things. But one of the things, if you look at one of their issues last year, they were 29th against the run. And it's an issue. They've got a nice D-line. Oh, we're going to a break here. They got a nice D-line, but they need help at the linebacker position. They got to get younger. I think that Leighton Vander Esch could be the Doug McDermott's blueprint. He's a defensive guy. They got to get a linebacker.
All right, good stuff, Gabe. Thanks. You can catch him on Sports Rage and every day on Red Heat and Rage. We'll be back after this.
In this league,
there's some players out there that, like, you'll hate teams. You only like your team, but then you just really like that one guy. I'm trying to think off the top of my head right now who that is, because I remember, like, Nolan Arenado is one of them. I felt like David Wright kind of some years back was another one of those. Big Poppy. Now, maybe unless you're a Yankee, but everyone else, you kind of liked Big Poppy. Noah Syndergaard is a perfect example of where I'm going with that. That's a player that just, like, even if you're not a Mets fan, you just love that guy.
Listen live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Skick's sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skick's canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skick's helps fans perform better. Go to Skick's.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skick's.com. Skick's sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
Hey, I'm Jeff. Look, I'm just a skeleton. I don't have an ACL anymore, but I still like to know what it means when one of my fantasy players sprains his. That's why I use the Inside Injuries app. It was created by real doctors, so you're getting information directly from people who have seen, touched, and operated on actual ACLs. Take it from me, a skeleton. If you aren't using it, you might as well just be guessing. Download the free app today and unlock the secrets of injury analysis.
Fantasy.
Nobody that has gray in their beard should be leading off a game.
I see what you're talking about right now, too.
I wondered where you were going with that.
Like, there's no way that someone that has gray in their beard should ever lead off.
The old gray beard.
That's ridiculous.
Since when are you ageist? I mean, we have you on the show, and you're 30 years older than us.
You are the gray beard of our group.
This is why I shave, so you don't see the gray in the beard.
He looks like Santa if he grows it out.
Have you seen Grandma's Boy?
Sure.
In the movie, they call him Gray Bush because he's like the oldest guy at their workplace. Should we start calling you Gray Bush?
Appreciate it not.
Weekdays on FNTSY Radio and live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.
Back in the 2018 FNTSY official NFL mock draft special. We just got off the phone with Gabe Morency at Sports Rage. He gave his takes on Lamar Jackson, how unfairly he's been treated, and also gave us a couple of options for the Bills. A lot of Josh Allen talk there. Look, I think the fact that we talked about him for a good 7 minutes there is indicative of the debate that we're having.
He's polarizing, for sure.
I don't think Joe's wrong to say that he is a second day talent or a early third day talent right now. But his potential talent is obviously great, and it's at a position which is going to crystallize a team need into, frankly, teams tripping up. You know, here's the reality. The NFL GMs miss on these QBs at a 50% rate in the first round, but the success rate of players, of quarterbacks picked beyond the first round in the NFL is horrible.
Less than 20.
You're going to say, people are going to throw Brady and Dak and Russ Wilson at me now, and even Kirk Cousins, because you can. But right now, going into next season, it's likely going to be 22 of the 32 quarterbacks are first round picks. And a bunch of the others that aren't first-round picks aren't really guys that you want to build a franchise around. Case Keenum is one of those. He's an undrafted free agent, actually. And then a few others. You know, Brady, Wilson, Drew Brees technically is a second-rounder, even though he's the first pick of the second round. Cousins is a fourth-rounder. Prescott, fourth-rounder. Andy Dalton, the second-rounder. And Andy Dalton, it's not like his job is set in stone right now. He needs to step it up this year because the Bengals can get out of that contract pretty easy after next season. So before we bring Tony in, if you play on DraftKings and FanDuel, go to dailyroto.com/premium and save 10% with the promo code FNTSY to use the same tools and projections that have produced 4 millionaire maker winners and millions more in total winnings than that. Dominate Major League Baseball DFS contests this summer with Daily Roto's MLB projections and optimizer. So head over to dailyroto.com/premium, save 10% with the promo code FNTSY, and see the results for yourself. So, Tony, we got through all the picks. We got through your picks. It played out in a weird way. You and I talked about it off air before the draft. It played out in a weird way than what some people may be expecting. But I like that because it was organic. We kind of picked best player available all throughout this. And you got some interesting players there. I think you locked up the middle for the Raiders with Vita Vea from Washington. So I'll let you comment on that one first.
Yeah, this is a kid that, you know, you go back to the Raiders and it's a traditional hard-nosed football and they do things a little outside the box. And this guy's a 350-pound lineman that lined up on the outside in college with absolute speed and a big dude. And you look at the Raiders and you would think John Gruden, an offensive-minded coach, would come in and select an offensive player with his first pick. But I think this is too much to pass up here. I mean, you look at it and a lot of people's comparisons to Haloti Ngata. Haloti Ngata is a guy that can basically take your whole defensive line and absolutely free up your linebackers. Now, of course, their linebacker, Khalil Mack, holding out right now, but this would be a big move for them.
And your next pick that you made going down through this draft, you went for the Ravens. Joe, he picked, I'll let you comment on this first, Joe, he picked Cortland Sutton, the big wide receiver out of SMU, 6'4". 6'3", 218, the biggest wide receiver we saw in this first round.
Yeah, I mean, physically, he can catch the football at its highest point. I think he'll struggle with a little bump and run coverage the way Corey Davis did in the next level for Tennessee. He's got a huge upside. Physically, he reminds me of a Dez Bryant type of player. So I think that's a perfect complement for their type of offense. Again, I think it'll be a year before we see the best of Cortland Sutton, but a great pick overall for former SMU player.
Tony, the Ravens have spent so much draft capital in the last few years, not unlike their divisional rival, the Steelers, on defensive players early in the draft. They had Humphrey, the cornerback from Bama last year. They need some more offense injected that goes beyond just Michael Crabtree and John Brown as free agency signings. I feel like this is a coach, a team, a quarterback that are all on the hot seat. I don't know that Sutton saves them, but he's going to help round out the weapons for Joe Flacco.
He should help round out the weapons. I remember they gambled on Breshad Perriman, and he failed at the wide receiver position. And you look at it, Perriman was a guy that got down the field, right? And this is an offense that's turned into a 5-yard, 6-yard passing route. Perfectly fits in. Cortland Sutton can actually run block as a wide receiver. This kid is a guy that came in the league, came into college as a safety. So he's ready to mix it up. I think this is the perfect mix for the Baltimore Ravens. You're right. Harbaugh, supposedly, there was talk that he was going to be replaced replaced last year, and they waited and they decided to keep him. So his job's on the line, which would take him about 5 minutes to find another job if they were to let him go. So this is not a pick that's going to make an immediate impact, but I think he's a guy 2 or 3 years down the road that becomes a big play for them.
That's a good point. I think Harbaugh, it may just be like a worn-out welcome. First of all, they're like removing Ozzie Newsome from under him. It's just, it's starting to fall apart in Baltimore. I think Tony's right. He would get hired about as quickly as a head coach out of work could get hired. So that'll be interesting. Tony, this next pick that you made for the Patriots at 23 probably garnered the highest praise from my buddies Joe and Rich here. Rich, I'll let you comment on Arden Key first, and then Tony can talk about him as well.
Joe provided the praise. I did not. I actually didn't like the pick. I think... you know, Emory Hunt said it well, which is you don't know what you're going to get from Arden Key. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's not like a top five pick, but even at 23, this is a first round pick. Now, the organization might be a good fit. If there's anybody who's going to get maximum potential, maximum talent, particularly out of a defensive player, would be Bill Belichick and the Patriots. But from what I saw from Arden Key last year, too much inconsistency. You know, was not in shape when he returned from the offseason where he was not with the team. Joe mentioned he had a pot charges against him. I don't know if this kid really has focus. I don't know if he's passionate about football. That would be a major concern. Now, when he brings it and when he flashes, he's a dynamite edge rusher, but a little too inconsistent for my taste.
Tony, you think this is the guy that Belichick will he thinks he can get him under wraps and you know, be the next Chandler Jones before he jettisons him for similar off-field indiscretions?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a kid as a freshman, right? His last 9 games, 41 tackles, 6.5 a loss, 5 sacks, team high, 9 quarterback hurries. The second year, he makes second team all SEC. He just got better, and in the last year, he did nothing. He did have shoulder surgery in college, too, so I don't know how much that set him back. And this is a guy with the talent. They look to get it out of guys. I think that they might end up getting this guy with the second pick in the first round, but this is a guy that they definitely want to grab.
Yeah, I mean, they're making some changes. I just mentioned a couple of the guys that, look, they've lost a ton of really good defensive players over the years. They just lost Malcolm Butler. Forget the controversy. He's a quality player related to the Super Bowl. He's a quality player. They lost him. They've lost some other guys recently. They jettisoned Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins, and they lost Gerard Mayo. Like, this is all within the last 3 seasons. Getting back to having a dominant pass rusher like this, especially if Derek Rivers, their third-round pick from last year, gets healthy, I think it builds an interesting second wave. And Tony made a great point. Tony, make the point that he made off-air about what the Patriots were when they were winning early in the 2000s.
Yeah, people forget about it. And now with the quarterback situation, Tom Brady, and not knowing how long they got left with Brady, people forget back when the Patriots first won that first Super Bowl against the Rams, Tom Brady came in and he protected the ball. You had Willie McGinnis in there, Teddy Bruschi, Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, and now they've become this high-flying offense, and they've neglected the defense for years. I think Bill Belichick's jettisoning some of these offensive players and going to bring back some of these defensive players and try to bring it back up for when they first started.
And Tony, you went defense twice here with the Patriots, and you picked both times here. You had Arden Key at 23, and at 31, you had Jair Alexander, the cornerback out of Louisville.
Yeah, he's another kid that had injuries in his final year of college, right? And in the year before that, put together a monster season. And I look for this kid to be able to be a decent-sized cornerback that can actually cover receivers. He can return kicks and play there. And this is a kid that's going to be a complete stud. This kid, if he played good in 2017 and he played as well as he did in 2016, he wouldn't be even around for this pick.
Yeah, Jair Alexander is one of these kids that just he saw the draft coming, and he took full potential. I mean, he took really full advantage of that opportunity, got better as the season went on. Louisville, not necessarily known for defense. That's Lamar Jackson's territory. That's Lamar Jackson's school. But I like the way he plays with attitude. He plays with a lot of feistiness. He's not afraid to go toe-to-toe with opposing receivers. He'll even do a little jig on the field. Remember that last year? Do a little jig. I mean, he's a confident kid. He's got swagger. I love what he brings to a secondary.
Yeah, and let's look at the type of wide receivers that he went up against. Clemson wide receivers, Florida State wide receivers. You look at Isaiah Ford and Bucky Hodges, those type of wide receivers and tight ends for Virginia Tech, Cam Phillips as well. So athletic type of players playing within the ACC, and he stepped up his game. He's a ball hawk as well. So I think it's a solid pick that Tony picked for New England. And I'll say this about Arden Key for LSU. You look at the transition of LSU players to the next level, especially on defense, guys like Quan Alexander, Patrick Peterson, Tyron Matthau, and others. Deion Jones is another one. They translate to the next level, and a lot has been said about Arden Key possibly being the next Barkevious Mingo. I don't think so. He has a huge upside, so that's a great pick as well.
Deion Jones has exploded onto the scene in the NFL. He's been great for Atlanta. So, Tony, we ended up with, you and I talked earlier as well about, we're starting to feel, a lot of people are starting to feel a little talked out about regarding the quarterback situation and who's going to get picked first and where are these guys going to go. And I think you illustrated part of what some people are concerned about. We're talking about, are five quarterbacks going to go? Are six quarterbacks going to go? Are three going to go in the top three? Are four going to go in the top five? And these guys may not be all that good in the long run.
I think what's happening now is the NFL, everybody knows you need a quarterback to win. But the thing is, you need a quality quarterback to win in the National Football League. And based on what I've seen from these quarterbacks play during the season, I don't think any of these guys would be a top 15 quarterback in the next 2 or 3 years. And I find it crazy to spend a first-round draft pick on any of these guys. So I can't believe that six are actually going to go in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. I think five are definitely going to go.
I think six will go.
I think six could go. But here's the part of it. Here's what changed, I think, a little bit of the perception. Because of the salary cap situation for NFL teams and quarterbacks going at the rate of $25 million plus, and it ends up being a pretty significant, granted the cap keeps going up, but it's still a pretty significant percentage of your overall payroll. When they saw teams like Dallas have success with Dak, and the Seahawks build a kind of mini dynasty, they're disappointed they only ended up with the one Super Bowl, while the quarterbacks were cheap. And the Eagles right now, Wentz and Foles combined, are only $15 million. I think teams are rushing to build a defense, bring in a capable, young, cheap quarterback, try to win a few, and then the window's closed, you're paying the QB, and then you blow it up. That's what the Seahawks have had to do. I think that's maybe how Russell Wilson has kind of changed perception of how you can build this and win quickly.
Yeah, that's a great point. But let's keep in mind about some of the quarterbacks that we mentioned. Russell Wilson set an NCAA record point for not throwing an interception at NC State and then transferred to Wisconsin and threw for over 30 touchdowns. The last time that Wisconsin threw for as many touchdowns was last year with Alex Hornibrook. It's been 7 years since Russell Wilson did that in college. So you look at the type of progression by some of these players. You look at Aaron Rodgers at Cal. He was a dominant player on the collegiate level. He almost knocked off USC and Pete Carroll when USC was a dynasty at that point. Guys like Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and Lindell White. I mean, he was at the top of his game. Drew Brees as well. So when you look at some of these players, and everybody talks about Tom Brady in the sixth round. Tom Brady was 20-5 as a starting quarterback in Ann Arbor, splitting time with Drew Henson, playing against some of the best teams in the country. So we're talking about players that really did it on the collegiate level as opposed to mediocre players at the quarterback position like Josh Allen that really didn't step up their game.
And Tony, now Tom Brady wears magic pajamas, so it's all good.
Yeah, he does. He does a lot of crazy things for coming out there. I'll tell you what, it's really interesting when you look at it. Like, none of these guys led their team anywhere. Like, Deshaun Watson's a perfect thing. I didn't think he would transition play as well as he did. It's a very limited sample size, right? But he played in two national championship games. He won one of those games. There's not one of those quarterbacks in this draft that has the pedigree of a guy like Deshaun Watson, who I didn't think was great coming in. It surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing, Tony, I would say would be Sam Darnold. No national championship, but he did elevate USC, won a couple of Pac-12 titles, won the Rose Bowl, had that exciting game against Penn State and Saquon Barkley a couple of years ago. So Darnold would be close, but to Tony's point, which I agree with, I use Josh Rosen as an example. You know, we love the ball that he throws. He looks the part. throws a tight spiral. But at UCLA, a team that did have talent with Jim Mora, a lot of blue chippers on that roster, never was able to elevate that program. And heading into the NFL, that would be a major concern of mine. Baker Mayfield would be close, too, in terms of what he did from a winning perspective.
Josh Rosen didn't win a bowl game. He didn't win a bowl game at UCLA. He didn't even have the opportunity.
He had that big game against Texas A&M to start off last season, the big rally, the big exciting victory. And after that, it was, it was
0-6 on the road.
Yeah.
He threw the pick against Memphis.
So, Tony, yeah, that was a huge one. So, Tony, 17 offensive players taken in our draft, 15 defensive players, 6 QBs, 2 running backs, 5 wide receivers, no tight ends. From a fantasy standpoint, Barkley's obviously going to be the guy that people are going to be clamoring after, not unlike Zeke Elliott a couple of years ago. Based on the way our draft played out, though, he ends up at the Jets. You have a bunch of other quarterbacks here. Say you're building a dynasty team. Barkley's going to be that number one guy. But who else do you like here? Quarterback, wide receiver?
Well, I think the interesting part is to see where two guys go, because I think we have them a little different than they'll actually be. And one is Calvin Ridley. Like with the Broncos, with that quarterback situation, it would be real interesting. But say he drops down and you see him falling down draft boards a lot of times in these mock drafts, and he ends up in somewhere like Dallas. I think Calvin Ridley is going to be real dependent on where he shows up. Then another guy, Sonny Michel, the Green Bay Packers, you would think that would be the perfect landing spot for him. And then all of a sudden, he'd be the second pick in everybody's dynasty drafts if he ended up in a place like Green Bay. But if he falls a little later and he goes to an offensively starved team like the Lions, who have had problems running the ball no matter who is in the backfield, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're looking for somebody else there. So a lot is going to be dependent on where they go. But those are the two guys that interest me the most, and Ridley and Sonny Michel. I think that Calvin Ridley will end up falling down a lot here because of the combine, whether we like it or not. It seems like the combine numbers, and we won't know, maybe it's all a smoke screen, but it seems like the combine numbers are scaring a lot of people off.
Yeah, so that's Tony Sincotta. You can find him on Twitter at @TheTonySincotta. He's a fantasy sports host here multiple times a day. He does Talking Trash in the mornings, Fantasy Sports Today, does golf shows, comedy shows, and obviously guesting on specials like this. He's on Sports Red Heat and Rage every day. He's doing a DFS lineup lock. Jack of all trades. Tony, thanks for joining us.
Good night.
All right, folks, we're going to wrap up the show after this. Myself, Joe, and Rich will come back to get our final thoughts on this draft, the official mock draft of FNTSY. We'll be back after this.
BSO Live.
Ray Lewis says that the reason that there's chaos in Odell Beckham's life is that he's removed God from his life, and he doesn't read the Bible with Ray Lewis anymore. Just because you're a great football player, which Ray Lewis was, doesn't necessarily mean you're the greatest person in the world. The problem with Ray Lewis is that he's so judgmental for someone that has so many skeletons in his closet. That's the part I don't get. Odell Beckham's not a criminal. When you've got bodies potentially on you, you probably shouldn't be so judgmental about other people's lives.
Find the BSO Live podcast on blacksportsonline.com or on any popular podcast provider.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 immediately. That's 800-955-3793. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-955-3793 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-955-3793. That's 800-955-3793. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 for your free author submission kit.
How much I should bid on Ohtani here in Tout Wars. He's actually a free agent. I have a lot of my budget left. I think I'm going to throw almost $200 at him.
What are the rules in your league about Ohtani? Is he just a pitcher, just a hitter? Can he be used as both?
No, this is for hitter. You put him? For hitter Ohtani.
For hitter Ohtani. You're going to throw 20% of your budget. I doubt that'll be enough. I think in non-expert leagues, that wouldn't be enough. Someone will overbid for him.
Listen on the FNTSY Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for watching us today on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch TV, and Facebook Live. So, closing out, getting our final thoughts, really, on what was kind of an interesting mock draft. Like, reality is, I think we all would concur that this draft is not going to go the way that we just had it play out. But it's a unique look at it. We have best player available going more often than not. We did have six QBs go, but not in the way that people suspect. Do I think the Giants are going to trade out or move that pick? I think it's possible. But I've been saying for months, the guy they really need is Quentin Nelson, because a lot of fingers got pointed at this offense over the last couple of years. And it started to fall apart at the end of 2016 when Ereck Flowers and crew couldn't really block anybody. And then last year, they couldn't block anybody at all. And then every wide receiver on the team got hurt. So if they did stay there, it's not inconceivable to pick a guard there, especially when he's a player of the quality that you guys think he is. And Joe, you thought he's of the highest quality.
Well, he's a dominant guard. I mean, I think when you look at the NFL, especially running the football in the NFC East, you need a physicality on the offensive line. That's the one attribute for New York that was clearly lacking in 2017. Until they could protect Eli Manning or whoever's playing quarterback, it doesn't matter who you have at the running back position, and especially depth on the next level with injuries in the NFL, that's a huge concern. So to take Quentin Nelson number two overall, you could still get a running back. We didn't take Darius Geis in the first round, which is shocking. If he slips to possibly the Giants at somewhere in the second, third round, we're talking about a dynamic player that could put up huge numbers on the next level.
That's a good segue, because that was going to be my question for both of you, and to you first, Rich. Of all the players that didn't get selected in the first round, maybe who are you most surprised by? I know that's a wide pool, but yeah. Darius Geis' name, that was a guy that I thought about the Steelers taking, so, I don't think the Steelers would put Le'Veon Bell on notice like that, so that's why I shied away and went to wide receiver.
Geis in New York as Wayne Gallman's backup, I mean, right there we're talking about a dynamic duo in that backfield.
Killing me on Wayne Gallman.
I can't help it. I just can't believe you brought him up tonight. But,
yeah, I always bring him up.
You know, offensively, I would say Darius Geis for sure, but I like some of the interior linemen as well. I took Will Hernandez to Minnesota, but I thought long and hard about James Daniels, the center from Iowa, Isaiah Wynn from Georgia, who can go a little bit outside to tackle, also play inside. Billy Price got hurt at the combine, which really...
But he's expected to be okay for training camp.
He'll be fine, and he'll be absolutely fine. So I don't think his draft stock should be affected at all. Billy Price is a nasty player at the pivot. For a team that needs a center, Billy Price, defensively, listen, he has the heart issue. He's been cleared, but Maurice Hurst at Michigan, if you want... I hate to do comparisons because people think I'm doing apples to apples, but if you want an Aaron Donald-esque player from the interior, that guy is Maurice Hurst from Michigan.
How about you, Joe? Player that didn't get selected that you could see. I mean, Colton Miller didn't go. We only drafted one offensive tackle, and it was the last pick of the draft of the first round in Mike McGlinchey.
Yeah, I would say Connor Williams then. When you look at Texas, we're talking about an all-pro selection here, an all-conference player that possibly could fall out, according to our draft, the second, possibly third round, and was clearly the best player on Texas's team, especially on the offensive line. So when you look at physicality, you look at offensive linemen, and on the next level, he's a name that I would have to throw in along with Isaiah Wynn. I mean, when you look at the college football playoff performance by Georgia, I mean, when you look at their transition in running the football, 257 rushing yards per game last year. They rushed for over 200 in 12 of their 15 games. A main reason why was because of Isaiah Wynn, a physicality, blue-collar type of player. You have to keep an eye out for him on the next level.
So another position where I thought about when I picked for the Steelers at the end of the first round was tight end. They have Jesse James. The problem I was having is I couldn't really decide which tight end I like the most. And I think we're seeing that a little bit through this draft process. You're seeing Hayden Hurst is sort of late. Dallas Goedert is kind of late. These players are all being drafted like 25 and beyond in these mock drafts. So at the end of the day, Rich, do you think that any of these tight ends are truly first-round great players?
Yeah, I think Goddard and Hurst could both go in the first round. I think depending on, you know, New England might fall in love with a replacement to Rob Gronkowski. That could be either Goddard or Hayden Hurst. I really like Hayden Hurst. I mean, he's such a playmaker from that position. He can sort of stretch the field the way a big, supersized wide receiver would. A little more of a mature kid. Spent time in the minor leagues and Major League Baseball, so he's not your typical 21, 22-year-old. Outstanding hands, runs good routes, he's physical. Will do a little bit of inline blocking, but as a weapon from the tight end position, love Hayden Hurst. Dallas Goedert, people didn't know about. They did at the FCS level because he played at South Dakota State. But this is a kid that was completely overlooked at the high school level. Now, as he got bigger, became more physical, makes a lot of acrobatic catches. So I think you have two tight ends. Let's not forget about Mike Gesicki from Penn State. Tall type of guy.
He ran great at the combine,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he ran great. He jumped great, yeah. Physically did really well. So Mike Gesicki in the second round could be somebody that gets swooped up pretty quickly.
You know, of all these high-profile players that we've heard put on notice, and like Le'Veon Bell is potentially planning a holdout, and Odell is playing nice in the sandbox at this moment, but these crazy rumors surrounding him being moved. I think the one high-profile player that could see his way out of a team, and Tony Sincotta, I didn't get a chance to get to it, thinks there's a very significant percentage that Gronkowski could be traded before draft day. Look, the Pats always get out on players a year early. Even if they're wrong, they usually aren't wrong by it for a long time. You know what I mean? That player will give that new team a year, maybe two, and then they're done with it. He's a very high price. He's still relatively valuable, but a high-priced tight end. That's the reality. Would they take somebody like Hurst or Goddard, and who fits that system better?
Well, I was going to go a different direction. I look at when the Patriots had Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez was more
that
of an athletic type. How about – and I like Mark Andrews then. I think Mark Andrews reminds me of an Aaron Hernandez. So now if you draft – let's say Mark Andrews, late first, early second round, playing with Baker Mayfield. He's a type of player, 6'5", 6'6", that could be utilized in the slot, nickel backs, linebackers, and red zone opportunities. He's a player that I think could translate playing with Rob Gronkowski as opposed to replacing him. He's not a dominant run blocker playing in the Big 12 in Oklahoma, but keep an eye out for Mark Andrews because against Ohio State and Denzel Ward, he created huge mismatches against defensive backs. So when you utilize him in the slot, he's a dynamic playmaker.
So we did talk about the six quarterbacks, and we made reference to quarterbacks that could conceivably be taken on day two or day three. But I'll go to you, Rich, first. Who's somebody that you could see a team is going to jump on them in the second round because they didn't have to pay the high price? Who do you think's that next guy off the board?
Well, one of the guys that keeps coming up is Kyle LaLeta. From the University of Richmond, very bright kid. He's from Pennsylvania. Does not have a cannon of an arm, but he's more accurate than he is really a big time passer in terms of arm strength. But the kid I like is Mike White from Western Kentucky. I mean, he has an absolute cannon. He's not very mobile. He's a kid from Florida, began his career at South Florida, went to Western Kentucky, struggled a bit with Mike Sanford as the head coach last year. But Mike White is one of those kids, even beyond the second round, I think middle of the draft, third or fourth round, he's a kid that I really like a lot because of the arm talent that he brings to the NFL. Yeah.
Anybody different on your end?
Well, I just want to piggyback about Mike White and to tell you about his progression because 2 years ago he threw 35 touchdown passes. That was with Jeff Brohm as head coach. Jeff Brohm moved to Purdue. They had a non-existent rushing attack at Western Kentucky. When Jeff Brohm was there, they were balanced. 200 rushing, 200 passing. Last year, as an offense, 68 rushing yards per game. They were dead last in FBS. That's why Mike White's progression fell off. Quarterbacks, I like Kurt Benker for Virginia. You're going to get him in the third or fourth round, 6'3", about 225 pounds. Only completed 58% of his passes, but did throw 25 touchdowns last year. He understands how to read coverage. Keep an eye out for him. And Logan Woodside's another player. He's an athletic quarterback. You'll get him in the sixth, seventh round. He led FBS in terms of passing touchdowns in 2016, 45 total touchdown passes. He lost Kareem Hunt. He lost his big play wide receiver, Cody Thompson, last year. So he dropped off to 28 touchdowns. Keep an eye out for Logan Woodside, fifth, sixth round.
You know, I think it's good about these exercises is you start to realize that. And I've heard Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and a high-profile draft analyst talk about this, but when you start laying out all the players that you think could go in the first round, you can come up with a first-round grade for about 45 different players. they're not all going to go. It's what teams need and how it ends up playing out. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you can only have 32 first-round grades. And, heck, you might have less because you might think it's a low-quality draft.
Well, and that's why, Mike,
I have six quarterbacks in the first round. They may not be all first-round grades, but because of the dynamics that we've been talking about for the last 3 hours, that's the way it ends up.
I that's why I really dislike the Jets trade. I mean, they wound up giving away 3 second-round picks, 2 in 2018.
And they don't even know who they're going to get.
1 in 2019. Right, so did they fall in love with one quarterback, and will that quarterback be there at number three? I'm down on the quarterbacks in general. I think that was one of the themes of tonight's show is that, you know, there are quarterbacks with potential for sure, but are there really slam-dunk 6 first-round quarterbacks? My takeaway is of those six, I think at least half of them will wind up being busts or certainly not playing up to a first-round potential. So for the Jets, I hate to just...
And if I had to rank them in terms of my confidence, it would probably be Darnold, then Rosen, because I like his headiness.
Yeah.
I know some people think it could be a distraction, but I can appreciate his headiness. I think all your points about him not elevating UCLA are prudent, but I do like his headiness. Baker and Mason Rudolph scare me because of the conference that they played in. I think it would be an advantage if Baker fell because I think he could play with a chip on his shoulder, which is a good thing. as far as Josh Allen is concerned, man, that's a coin flip. And I would not be flipping that coin if I were the Jets. I think it could be a huge disaster for them. And I don't know who it is that they like, but they didn't guarantee. You're right about the trade.
It's Rosen.
They didn't guarantee themselves anything.
I think it's Rosen.
I actually think you're right.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's Rosen.
If I had to guess, that would be my guess.
Josh would fit in well in New York City from a personality standpoint.
I can't see Mayfield in New York.
And I can't see Baker at number three.
That's what I'm saying,
I don't think he rises to that level. But again, the point about the Jets is you talked about there probably are 45 players that would get first-round grades. They would have had three of those players in theory. They would have had... You know, they would have had some real good players, and yet still the number six player overall. Maybe not the quarterback that they covet, but listen, beyond Darnold, that to me, I think the next five guys after Darnold are hit or miss.
It would be a New York Giants dream if they could trade out of that, and that team comes up and takes Josh Rosen away from the Jets. That would be the absolute ideal scenario for the New York Giants.
Who would they take then?
Trade that.
Who would the Jets take then if Rosen is gone? What do you think? Is it Mayfield?
Would they then back out?
Is it Josh
it?
Allen?
They have to like two QBs is the bottom line.
Yeah.
They really have to like three.
Yeah.
But if they the Giants, need to really love two.
It's probably Mayfield. I would say Mayfield over Allen. I would think it would be I would take definitely if you're giving me those three, four guys, you're giving me Darnold, you're giving me Rosen, you're giving me Allen, and you're giving me Mayfield, I'm going Darnold, number one. I would take Mayfield second over Rosen and Allen, but if it's in that
but
order.
But if it's you picking, Lamar's in there.
Yeah, I mean, overall, my best quarterback, I'm with Emery. Number one in this draft. We were on Deshaun Watson last year. When we did the show last year for pre-draft, I said Deshaun Watson was the best pure winner in that draft. He lived up to expectations. I still think Lamar Jackson, he's an athletic quarterback. Let him do his thing. When you have to defend the run and the pass on the next level and have to account for every offensive player, including the quarterback, you make a defense think, you open up holes, and you allow other playmakers into the offense. That's what Lamar
Joe, let
Jackson
me ask you
does.
A question. If Lamar is clearly a first-round athlete, and he's clearly a first-round the running side of his game, as a passer, do you think he's a first-round passer?
I think he got better as a first-round passer.
He did.
And I think that if he can improvise outside of the pocket, if you're going to force Lamar Jackson to be in the pocket, that's the wrong scheme. I think you allow him to play out of the shotgun. You allow him to utilize read options like we've seen on the next level in the NFL with Dak Prescott. You utilize him the same way as Dak Prescott. I think there's no reason why he can't be NFL Rookie of the Year.
I have to give credit to Emory Hunt because he's been pounding the drum. He's like the irony of Lamar Jackson's game is that the one area where he struggled statistically is trying to throw the ball on the run. So he creates on the run and he makes plays with his legs. When he's been throwing on the run, his numbers haven't actually been there. Now, it's all a wash because Lamar's passing numbers are great. I'm concerned about the fact that he ran 400 times in 2 years. That is going to be, on some level, muscle memory. It's hard to completely break free of that, but I don't think in any way he should be converted to a wide receiver. He's not a first-round talent.
Oh, no, he's
all
an
that
NFL
stuff is nonsense.
Yeah. He's
a good
quarterback.
Pocket passer.
He is an NFL. You know what I thought about, too?
And he could put on the 10 to 15 pounds that you mentioned as a concern earlier. 6'2", 216 doesn't put him in the weeds as far as his size is concerned. He can put on 10 pounds and not be impacted negatively.
Much better in terms of an NFL prospect is Lamar Jackson than Vince Young? And Vince Young was taken number 3 overall.
Right, but that's you see where we're
I understand.
Right?
I understand. Vince Young was taken number 3 overall, and Lamar Jackson is a better passer than Vince Young ever was.
To say this about pocket passer, I mean, when you look at his sack totals over the last 3 years, he was the most sacked quarterback in 2015, 2016, 47 and 44 sacks respectively. With three new wide receivers taken over, only sacked 27 times. That shows that he got better as a pocket passer. He knew where he wanted to go with the football. He was not holding on to try and make his reads and progressions. If it wasn't there, he threw it away. If it wasn't there, he broke contain. And when you have to account for every player and you have to account for him on every single play, that makes defensive coordinators think.
I don't think there's any doubt. Like I said, broke it down. 17 offensive players taken here, 15 defensive players, maybe a couple of regrets. Darius Geist, I think, is a guy we'll probably see be taken in the first round in the draft. He doesn't shake out here, mainly because of need. We were doing a lot of best player available. We didn't feel like those teams necessarily needed a running back. I think we'll see a couple of more offensive linemen go. I think you could see Geist go. I don't think Michelle is a bad call. I don't think we'll see him go at 14.
He's climbing, though.
He's climbing. And I think, look, it's all a matter of how the NFL is transforming, and he fits into the modern-day NFL in a big way. Even if it's not the Packers, somebody else will like that. The Lions could do something like that because they keep striking out on running backs. They might just keep rotating it over and over again. So, final thoughts, Rich?
Final thoughts is I can't wait to see where these quarterbacks go. I mean, I know that's been the focus during our draft talk over the past couple of months, but it's hard not to be. I mean, you have six quarterbacks who could be taken in the first round. That's going to be a polarizing issue. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, some great storylines with the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think when you look at second, third round players, two guys, especially at the wide receiver position, Allen Lazard and Simi Cobbs, Indiana and Iowa State, keeping out for both of those players.
Good stuff. I never got to Kalen Ballage. I know he's your favorite sleeper of this draft. So that's it, folks. 3 hours up, 3 hours down. Thanks for joining us on the 2018 NFL official mock draft special on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be airing this show again in the weeks to come. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.